Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we continue our discussion. We said that those qualities that mutakallimin, theologians and philosophers normally discuss when they want to study divine attributes of essence are ilm, knowledge, power, qudrah, hayat or life, irada or will, plus sami' and basir, which means hearing and seeing. Let us first start with ilm, because ilm is very fundamental. I say something, just keep it in your mind, maybe inshallah after 20 years, 30 years, someday it's something you would find it, you know, useful. In my understanding, ilm is very, very fundamental quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hayat, life, will, everything in a way or another is related to ilm. Ilm is very important, his love, everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he explains why he has created this world, you know, there are different things mentioned in the Quran, but in one place, which is end of Surah Talaq, okay, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna. Allah is the one who has created 7 skies and from the earth the same, means 7 earths. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ. And affairs come down from the sky to the earth. Why? لِتَعْلَمُ. So that you know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So that you know that Allah has power, which is embracing everything, and he has knowledge, which embraces everything. Okay, so it means that for us to know his knowledge and power are very important. Okay, if you don't remember that he has knowledge of everything and he has power of doing everything, then you would not be able to make a good relation with God as your Lord. Because what do you expect from your Lord? You expect from your Lord to be supporting you, to be loving you, to be helping you, to be giving you happiness. And that cannot happen unless he has knowledge and power. Okay? So knowledge and power are very important. But if God has all these qualities and you don't know, again, this doesn't work. So he says he has created all these things لِتَعْلَمُ, so that you know that he has this. So our knowledge is also very important. If we don't know that he has these qualities, it's like having no such qualities. You know? If God had these qualities but we are not able to know, then it had no benefit for us again. Okay? If you have a very, very good scholar in the town that no one knows, okay, so they cannot benefit. So it's important to have good scholars, and it's important to be introduced to people. Allah has good qualities and has introduced himself to us. You know the famous hadith Qudsi of hidden treasure. كُنْتُ كَنْزًا مَخْفِيًّا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفْ فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ لِكَيْ أُعْرَفْ. Normally it says فَأَحْبَبْتُ. I don't remember فَأَحْبَبْتُ, but the meaning is the same.
Can you explain?
I was a hidden treasure. This is a hadith Qudsi, is a divine saying. I was a hidden treasure. Then I loved, or I wanted to be known. So I created people so that I am known. If there is a hidden treasure and no one knows about it, then this treasure cannot be beneficial. So God has all the perfection, and out of His love, He has made us enabled to know Him. Okay? So knowledge is very important. Even, you know, there is hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about that verse. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinns nor ants except to serve me. Imam Sadiq says, أَي لِيَعْرِفُونَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَي لِيَعْرِفُونَ In order to know me. Because knowing is a requirement for serving God. You cannot serve God unless you know Him. Okay? So, Allah's knowledge is very, very important, and our knowledge of Allah is also very important. So knowledge is very important quality. Knowledge is very important quality. So let us now talk about Allah's knowledge. Knowledge of Allah is sometimes considered as a quality of essence. In the book, there is just maybe half a line reference to this, what I expand. Sometimes knowledge is used as a quality of essence, sometimes it is used as a quality of action. You have to be careful. Knowledge can be used in both ways. If it is as a quality of essence, it means that in His essence, He knows everything. In His essence, He is aware of everything. If someone asks you, is God aware of us in His essence or not? You say yes. If He says, was He aware of us before we were created? You say yes, because His essence is not changing. If He knows something, He knows it all the time. But you say, I was not there. You say, it doesn't matter. Whether you were there or you are not there, any reality which is existing in the past, present, future, it doesn't matter. If it's a reality, then in His essence, He knows that. Okay? But also He knows with all the details, so He knows that when that thing is going to happen. Okay? So, knowledge as a quality of essence is eternal, is not changeable. Whether ma'lum, what is known, is changing or not, is there or not, the knowledge of God in His essence is not changing. Okay? But there is another way of considering His knowledge as a quality of action. For example, I hope you don't need more rest. For example, right now, I make a dua. We can say, God knew your dua. Before you made dua, there was nothing to be known. Now that you made dua, alim, He knew your dua. What does it mean? It means that there was no object, which is dua, so it was not known, because it was not there. Then it came to existence, then it was known. So, when there was no ma'lum, there was no ilm. When ma'lum is there, ilm is also there. So, sometimes you find the Quran this in this way. For example, Quran says that first, Muslims were supposed not to have marital relation in the months of Ramadan, during the nights. Okay? Even during the night, they were supposed not to have marital relations. But then He says, God, alim, He knew that أنكم تختانون أنفسكم. You were betraying yourselves. So some Muslims in the night, they had marital relations, although they were supposed not to have. So God abrogated that ruling. Okay? It was a test. He says, he knew that you are betraying yourself. You betrayed yourself. If someone is not theologically, philosophically trained, he thinks that, oh, poor God. He thought that these people are nice people, so he asked them to observe this. But then he realized that they are not observing this, so he changed his rule. But this is for the people who are not trained. We know that God's knowledge is not changing in his essence. And when he says he knew that you were betraying, it doesn't mean that he didn't have this knowledge before they betrayed. They betrayed at certain time, and that came to the knowledge, to the notice of God. God knows that. So before that, there was no betrayal, so there was no actual knowledge. Now there is betrayal, so there is actual knowledge. So knowledge as an action can come and go. But in the essence of God, he has eternal knowledge of who is betraying, who is not betraying, from eternity. And it's not changing. You understand? So ilm can be used sometimes as a quality of action.
As well, Sheikh, he knows that I'm going to make dua as well. Even before I'm asking, he knows that I'm going to do it.
Okay.
But then when I ask, of course, he gives me. There is a relationship. But his knowledge is existing always, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, for example, if we have a person who has not repented. We say, right now, God knows that this person is not a repentant. Okay? God knows that this person is not a repentant person. Okay? After 1 hour, he repents. We say, God knows that he is a repentant person. So we have two times. In the first time, we said, God knows that he is not a repentant. Then in the second time, God knows that he's a repentant. Okay? This change doesn't mean that God has changed.
No, but Allah knew as well that he was very
repentant. In his essence, that he knew that in this time he's not repentant and this time he's repentant.
Yeah.
But still, in a, you know, as a quality of action, I can say that God in this time knew that he is not a repentant, which means that he didn't know that he's a repentant. Didn't know because it didn't exist. Not that he's jahil, because when something is not there, so it's not known.
Isn't it as you say that it is because of our action?
You know, for example, if I want to say to someone that he's not pious in a polite way, okay, if because sometimes, you know, ulama have, you know, polite ways of saying harsh words. So I can say, God doesn't know of your piety.
Simple.
So he says, why you are, I said, you know, I didn't say you are not pious. I said, God, so when something doesn't exist, God doesn't know of that. Not because he's na'uzubillah ignorant, because that didn't exist.
But he's beyond time.
But this is about quality of action.
Is the knowledge of action, is this knowledge of action separate from the absolute knowledge of his essence?
Yes.
Yes. Two ways of considering his knowledge. Sometimes we consider knowledge as the quality of God himself. That is always there. Not increasing, not decreasing. Okay? But sometimes we think about the relation between God as a knower and what is known. The relation between the knower and the known changes over time when the known is different.
But God, with his essence of knowledge, knows that these things are going to happen and this is going to happen.
Pardon?
God, because of his absolute
essence, no problem. In his essence, he knows.
Yeah.
But still, as action, we can say he knows now that you are a good person. عَلِمَا أَنْ سَيَّكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى عَلِمَا أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So it's possible. You know, these are things that unfortunately some people who have not been properly trained, then they came up with very funny ideas about God. But the beauty of Quran is that at the same time that is telling us that God in his essence is not changing, uses these qualities of action in the way that we can relate to God. You know? If we were not using these types of discourse, then for most of people it was very difficult to imagine, you know, what is God and, you know, how he is, you know, considering us, thinking of us, you know? So it's very important that in religion we use a language which can attract the lay people, but even philosophers with careful consideration don't find anything wrong in that. Do you get the point?
Yeah. This point needs actually discussion.
Okay.
From my point of view, at least. Now I took less 10 minutes, now I'm going to take 10 minutes discussion.
Okay, right now or after?
Now, maybe now, if possibly.
Because it's maybe you can do it afterwards. Let me finish, and then inshallah, you can. So, God has two types of knowledge. Knowledge of essence, knowledge of action. Okay, at the moment we are talking about knowledge of essence. What? Sifat Zati. This means that God in his essence has knowledge of everything. Knowledge of himself, knowledge of his creatures. Knowledge of general ideas, universal concepts, or particulars. There were some philosophers who had the idea that God doesn't know juz'iyat, the particulars. Because they said juz'iyat are changing, and if God knows things which are changing, then his essence becomes subject to change. But we say that, no, God knows everything, even knows all the details or the particulars without himself changing. How is it possible? The reason is, it's possible because he knows them, but not with a scattered pieces of knowledge. He knows everything, but knows them together. One knowledge, but including everything. He has one knowledge, but that one knowledge includes everything. Inshallah, when you study Mullah Sadra, then he explains it. العلم الإجمالي في عين الكشف التفصيلي. So knowledge is one, but it projects light on everything. Okay? It's one knowledge. Anyway, we don't want to discuss about this. This is for philosophy. What we want to say is that God knows everything in his essence. Why God has this quality? There are three arguments in the book. One is the general argument that we mentioned before break. That every good quality, every perfection that exists in creatures of God must exist in God. We see human beings have knowledge. So God must have greater knowledge. Okay? This is one way to argue for that knowledge. Of course, the knowledge which is not changeable, which is not in the, in need of learning, asking, and so on and so forth. Because otherwise it's not wajibul wujud. The other argument is Burhan and Nazm. Argument from design. You remember? One of argument from design. We said that argument proves not only wajibul wujud, not only a creator, prove that wajibul wujud must have so much of knowledge and power that has designed this order. You remember we said Burhan al-Nazm directly proves also knowledge of God and power of God. Because we were referring to different types of order that exist in the world, and so there must be intelligent designer. So who has designed and created all these magnificent creatures with the sophistication inside them and between them and their purposefulness? You remember there were three dimensions. Who has done that? The one that has knowledge. Without knowledge, you couldn't have done this. This is the second argument. The third argument is the argument that Ayatollah Mesbah mentions, but he says that the argument should be learned from philosophy. In philosophy, for example, if you study Nihayatul Hikmah by Allama Tabatabai, one of the rules that philosophers have is that kullu mujarradin aqil, kullu mujarradin alim. Mujarrad means abstract, opposite to maddi. Mujarrad is not opposite to mutahil. You know, mujarrad sometimes, you know, it's a single opposite to married. But here, mujarrad means abstract, immaterial, opposite to maddi. Because we have maddi and mujarrad. Mujarrad means abstract, free from physical dimensions. Philosophers prove that every immaterial being is intelligent, is understanding, has knowledge. Kullu, every immaterial being is knowledgeable, is intelligent. Kullu mujarradin aqil. They also argue and prove that kullu aqilin mujarrad. Everything which has intelligence and knowledge also is immaterial. Because physical objects cannot have knowledge. Inshallah, you study this in philosophy, but I want to explain it in a simple way. You know, if I have a piece of paper, does this paper have knowledge of what is under it or above it or around it?
No.
Does this paper have knowledge of its own parts?
No.
No. Why? Because in the material world, everything is hidden from other things. Everything is not related to other things. They can be connected, you know, they can be put on each other, but they are not related, they are not communicating, they are not understanding. In other words, everything is absent for the other things. You know, whether this paper is here or not, it doesn't affect the other issues. Okay? So it means that existence of this paper or non-existence is the same for them. So it means that they don't know. If you know, so your knowledge, your experience can change. So anything which has knowledge is immaterial. On the other hand, everything which is immaterial has knowledge. Why? Because there is no absence in the immaterial world. Absence is something that happens in the physical world, in the material world. When you have a space, when you occupy a certain space, it means that in other spaces you are absent. But then you have no space, you are not absent. Also, when you have a space, then another thing which doesn't occupy that space is different from you and it's unknown. But when there are no spaces, so they are together. When something is immaterial, it doesn't have, you know, three dimensions, it doesn't have, you know, physical reality. So they don't occupy a particular space or particular time so that they are absent in other spaces or times. Therefore, their relation with each other is not like us, that we never meet. Do you accept? Two material things never meet. In reality,
two material things
never can be aware of each other. They are always absent from each other because they never meet. It means that they can never be in the same space and same time.
But we are material.
So how do we meet?
We meet because of our soul, not because of our body. Bodies are always, you know, sometimes, you know, I say this even about human beings today because we have become very materialistic, that sometimes we are just parked next to each other. Yeah, you go to a family, mother, father, children, they are all parked next to each other. No interaction. This is because we have become very materialistic. So if you have few objects, you have a statue here, you have a laptop here, you have a board here, do they have any interaction?
No.
Humans they are...
Knowledge, yeah.
Pardon?
But humans do have knowledge, like material people have knowledge, certain knowledge.
Yes, we have knowledge not because of our body, because of our soul, because of our ruh. Even, you know, Mullah Sadra argues that even perception is something that soul does. Perception is not something that is for example, body or... Because some people have the idea that al-idrakat al-hissiyya غير مجرد. But they say no. Even the simplest form of knowledge, like seeing something, this is an action of soul. And what body does is only preparation. Body prepares for the soul to know something. And this is why if your body functions, but your soul is not paying attention, soul would not understand. Imagine you are eating something, but you are speaking to someone over phone. You don't understand the taste. Body is functioning. It's not that body is not functioning, but the soul is not paying attention. Okay? All problems in life start when our interaction is limited to our bodies, because then there is no understanding, there is no care, there is no concern. The more you ascend towards the spiritual interaction, the more understanding we have. The more we come to body, the less understanding we have. Okay? So, everything which is immaterial, which is mujarrad, has knowledge. And God above all. Because God is the immaterial, God is not material. But Ayatollah Misbah says this is what philosophers have proved, and someone who wants to understand this can refer to the books of philosophy, like Nihayatul Hikmah, like Aswar. In those books, you know, you can find the details. Like Nihayatul Hikmah by Allama Tabatabai or Al Aswar Al Adliyatul Arba by Mullah Sadr. But you can use the other two arguments, the argument of design from design, or the argument that anything that is good and perfect which exists in us must exist in God. Then we have Sami' and Basir. I change a little bit the order, because I think in this way you can better understand. Sami' is used in the Quran many times. Inna Allah, for example, Sami'un Alim or Sami'un Basir. This is why they have mentioned this. Otherwise, there was no reason to mention them separately. The reason they are mentioned, it's because they are mentioned in the Quran frequently. Of course, why they are mentioned in the Quran frequently, I will explain inshallah. Sami' doesn't mean God is hearing as an action. When they call it Sifat al-Zat, they are not talking about act of hearing. They say we mean by God being Sami' that God has knowledge of the things which are heard. Means knowledge of the voices, the sounds, the speeches in his essence. So it's a kind of ilm, but ilm bil masmu'at, knowledge of the things which are heard. Basir means God has knowledge of the things which are visible, which can be seen. Okay? Why these two are very much emphasized on in Islamic tradition, for example, in the Quran and Hadith? Because of the fact that for us human beings, the most important types of knowledge for most of us is when we see something or we hear something. Of course, first of all, seeing, and second, hearing. Yeah? If you see something, you feel that this is something you cannot, you know, deny when you see. And also when you hear, when someone is speaking to you, okay? Not hearing about something, for example, indirect. For example, now that you are hearing my voice, you cannot then doubt my existence. Yeah? Do you get the point? There are two types of hearing. Sometimes a person says to you that I saw Sheikh Shomali. Here, what you hear is a report. That report is not doubted because you have heard it. But whether that report is true, in other words, whether what is reported is true or not, you may doubt it. But you don't doubt the report. Is it clear? Why you don't doubt the report? Because you have heard it yourself. Why you doubted what is reported? Because you didn't hear that. You know, so it's not the problem of hearing. No? People think that's the problem of hearing. No. It's because we are not actually hearing what is reported. We are hearing the report. So if someone says to me, so-and-so is good or bad, I doubt. Not because I doubt my hearing, I doubt what I have heard. Otherwise, I don't doubt my hearing. Okay? So, our vision and our hearing are very important for us. So what I'm saying is that we human beings very much like our hearing, not like seeing, but still we much like it and trust it. Okay? It can be sometimes mistaken, like seeing can be also mistaken. Anyway, for us, seeing and hearing are very important. Okay? So, when you hear in majalis or you read that, for example, you know, don't trust what you hear, you know, there is, for example, difference between ear and eye. Again, this doesn't contradict what I'm saying. That is about the content, not about the actual hearing. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
These are two things. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to help us to understand how much He knows everything, He uses these two concepts which are very important for us. He could have just said, I know everything. Yeah? But for us, seeing is very important. Hearing is very important. So He says, I hear everything. I see everything. Okay? So that you, by your heart, you know, grasp this. If you just say, I know everything, it doesn't have that much effect, you know, that it has been said, I'm seeing everything. You know, this ayah, for example, Allah says, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Doesn't man know that God is seeing him? If you say, doesn't God, man know that God knows him, is not that much effective. But he's seeing him. He doesn't see with eyes. But the knowledge that he has from us is much more than the knowledge that we have when we see something by eyes. Okay? Therefore, he says he is basir, he is samir. So, this is why, or at least one reason why Quran uses these terms, samir, basir, so that we can rely on that knowledge, we can imagine that everything that we do, everything we say, God is aware of that. Okay, you become very careful. Okay? So you should imagine that everything is recorded. So we don't need actually to bring further arguments for this, because when we say God has knowledge of everything, that includes knowledge of what is heard, knowledge of what is seen. So it's just one type or two types of the general concept of knowledge. It's not a new thing. Another quality of God is power. Al-Qudra. What is power? According to theologians and philosophers, when they say power or qudra, they mean, pardon? No, power. They mean God is able to do what he wants and not to do what he doesn't want. For those who know Arabic, or you know, want to have it in Arabic, kawnul fa'il bihith idha sha'a fa'al wa idha lam yasha' lam yaf'al. The agent, the doer, in our case God, is able to do when he wills. It's not important whether he does or doesn't do. His ability to do what he wants and not to do what he doesn't want is important. So, he is not forced to do, and he is not unable to do what he wants. Okay? So, if he does want, he does it. If he doesn't want, he doesn't do it. So, when he does, he is not forced, and when he doesn't do, he is not unable. So, it's not his lack of ability and power. Okay? He does what he wants. And he doesn't do what he doesn't want. Of course, when we say he can do whatever he wants, ala kulli shay'in qadir, he's omnipotent, we mean everything which is possible. Shay, something which is possible, something that is not against our rational understanding, is not contradictory, for example. It's not impossible, logically. For example, you know, some of you asked this question. I said we'll discuss about it later. Can God create a rock that he himself cannot lift? Can God create something bigger than himself? Can God make 2 plus 2, 5? Or 3, 2 plus 2, 3. We say no. Then the person may say, so God doesn't have power. We say, God has power. But power for doing something which is possible. When something is not possible, the problem is not with the agent. If you want to understand, for example, how much I know mathematics, you can give me different, you know, for example, things, different questions, and ask me for answer. But you cannot give me a question which is contradictory and say, because you don't know the answer, so you don't know the mathematics. You cannot say, you know, we employ you as a professor of mathematics if you can prove 2 plus 2 is 5. I say, I cannot prove this. Say, so you are not employed. Say, why? I cannot prove this, not because I am not capable, not because I am not very learned. This is impossible. You understand? So, God is able to do everything which is possible, but something which is impossible doesn't come to this discussion. This is one point. The second thing is that God is able to do what is possible, but he may not want to do. He's able to do, but he may not want to do. Okay? Can God, for example, do bad actions? God can do bad actions. You know, for example, God can put a bad person in heaven and a good person in hell. Of course, putting bad person in heaven, if it is not by putting a good person in hell, it's okay. But you know, two people, one is good, one bad, one God mistreats, puts the bad in the good place and good in the bad place. God doesn't do this. Even God doesn't treat them equally. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. God will not treat good people and bad people the same. Yeah? So, if one person is good and one person is bad, if God forgives the bad person, then they don't become equal. So he should give something also to the one who has not done anything bad. Yeah? Because they shouldn't be equal. So, God can do bad things, can do unjust actions, but he doesn't do because he doesn't want them. So, these things are possible. You understand the difference? These things which are possible. It's not like making 2 plus 2, 5. Making 2 plus 2, 5 is impossible. But doing injustice is possible. Why? Because we are doing all the time. If it was impossible, we were not able to do it. The fact that we do it, it means that it's possible. But God doesn't do it. Yes, there is another form of impossibility that philosophers say. And that is muhale vuku'i, not muhale vuku'i. It means that logically it's possible. But from someone like God, it never happens because this doesn't suit God. So, practically it's impossible. Practically. But not logically.
Isn't it the opposite? Because Allah happy, he doesn't do such things. Allah is happy, so he doesn't do opposite things. I mean, which is against the justice, against the jamal or purity. So that actually practically it is possible to do, but logically
it's not possible. It means that God never practices this. It's impossible. But logically it's possible. It means that this is in itself possible. Essentially it's possible. By itself it's possible. But to come from such agent is impossible. You understand? Someone like God never does this. Not because this is impossible. Because this cannot be issued from God. Okay? So, why God doesn't want bad things? Because his essence is good. And for good and perfect essence, this cannot happen. Not because he is not able. You cannot measure his ability by him not wanting to do these things. You know? It's wrong if you say, I want to measure his ability by seeing whether he can do this or not. Yes, he can. If you essentially can, but he doesn't do this, he doesn't want this, because he is perfect. Don't think that he's he has lack of power if he doesn't do it. You know, some people were, even this happened about human beings. If a pious person doesn't do bad things, you cannot say he is weak. It's his strength that stops him doing bad things. Unfortunately, sometimes people think that, for example, these pious people are, you know, not very clever. They are not, you know, very, I don't know, good in politics because they never tell lies, you know, they never, you know, break their promise. This is not lack of power or lack of cleverness. This is their piety that stops them doing bad things because they are better, because they are stronger. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when people were comparing Muawiyah, you know, with Imam and saying that Muawiyah is more clever, you know, he knows better, you know, for example, how to do politics and these things and tricks, you know. So Imam said, if I'm not mistaken, وَاللَّهِ مَا مُعَاوِيَةُ بَأَدْهَا مِنِّي. By Allah, he is not more clever than me, more intelligent than me. But what he is doing is satanic, ugly. تَلْكَ النَّكْرَى شَيْطَنَا. Ali knows how to do those things, but he doesn't want to do it. Not because he's weak. Okay? So this is about human beings, but the example of Allah, of course, is greater. So if Allah doesn't do satanic acts, it's not because he's not able, he's able. But these acts are so bad, so wicked, that do not suit such perfect essence. Okay? So practically, we are sure that they never happen. But essentially, logically, it's possible. Okay? If it was not possible, then no one was able to do it. Even we were not able to do it. Yes?
Is it also because God has set some rules for himself? That's why we say God is just as well, right? God says that.
Yeah, that takes us to another issue. That what about those rules? Are those rules based on reality or based on a decision made that can change? Yeah, that's another issue we will talk about. Okay, yes.
When you say God does the impossible thing which is impossible or the impossible thing which is impossible, because like for miracles, it is impossible for us to happen.
No, miracles are not impossible. Miracles are possible. Logically, there is no problem in them. There's no contradiction in them. They are possible, but we don't have power to do them.
But we find them
miracles
impossible.
Are not impossible. Yes.
And the same point that we find that impossible in our mind. For example, Isra and Mi'raj. The whole concept of that. It's very difficult to understand that a human being can reach that level.
No, you know, for example, we say making 2 + 2 = 5. This is impossible. Okay? But giving healing to a blind person, is it possible? I cannot do it, but it's possible. And this is why, you know, we always try to find the solution. We try to find the person who can do this. It's possible, but we cannot do it.
Like a baby is put in a, like, infant is put out, but you had a Isa.
It's possible. If it was impossible, he wouldn't have done it. It's possible, but we don't have the power. But is there any way that you can prove logically that this cannot happen? That our mind doesn't find anything wrong in this happening. Just, we don't know how to do it.
Same for 2 + 2, we just don't know how to do it.
No.
How do you know it's
2 + 2, we know that it's not possible.
I thought there is no possible.
No, you never say, okay, we leave it, maybe someone can do it, 2 + 2 = 5.
Because it's a fact.
Because this is proved that it's 4, not 3, not 5. You know, it's like, for example, the problem that we have with 1 being 3, and at the same time being 1. Okay? Even miracles cannot do 1, 3, and 3, 1. You know? even miracles. And this is why they themselves don't say this is a miracle. They say this is a mystery. Which means that we don't know what is what is this. It's a mystery. But miracles are possible. Miracles are possible. And we may not know how to do it, but it's possible. So there is a difference between something which is logically impossible and something which is not practically for us possible because we have no knowledge, no power, but in itself is possible. Okay, I think we, inshallah, continue in next session. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.